Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Well, good Sunday morning. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with Angela Jones. Our show is brought to you by Brighter Day Law, and we're super excited and happy, super excited every Sunday, but very happy today to be chatting with Robin Depius. She has a very interesting history and calling that brought her to her current business. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So we were just kind of, I was going over the spelling. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, and, you know, in case folks are looking for you. Your last name is spelled D-E-P-I-E-S. And you were saying that was Luxembourg or French or something like that, and this for the unique pronunciation coupled with the spelling?
Yes, that's true. So it is Luxembourg, but my father-in-law did a genealogy of the family, and he went back to, I think it was the 12th century, and he found out that somebody from France jumped the fence. So if you go back far enough, it's French, and yet it's Luxembourg. So depending how you want to look at
it. Right, right. Yeah. And have you had the opportunity to visit that area of Europe?
I have not. One of my cousins has, and they found the family house in Luxembourg.
Wow.
Yes. So he brought photos home. It was really pretty cool.
That is super cool. So one thing we have in common is sort of that French background. My grandmother on my mother's side was a World War II bride, and my grandfather, my mom's dad, met her when the U.S. soldiers and sailors were liberating Paris at the end of World War II. Oh. And yeah, so we had an opportunity to, with my husband, to be stationed in Europe, and I've been to Luxembourg and France and that general vicinity, you know, Switzerland and Germany. So I know that's got to be on your bucket list.
It is on my bucket list. One of these days I'm going to get out there too.
Well, I know you're going to enjoy that. So I was reading over your bio that you sent over and just your history. I'm just fascinated. Do you mind sharing with our listeners, you know, kind of like really what brought you to do what you do here today?
Oh, that's a long journey.
The $100 million question, right?
Absolutely. You know, I used to be in corporate. I used to run manufacturing companies. And, you know, it was enough of that, right? Working for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided that I wanted to work for myself, and I looked around and really took some time to try and figure out who I am and who I like to work with and who do I want to serve. And it's women, financial, nonprofits, helping, education. So it kind of all comes together. I am a financial advisor. I am a Medicare broker. So I can really help people that are turning 65 because it's really confusing. And I had family members going through that. And that's why I got into that. And I really want to make sure that women understand where they are in life and what their choices are in life's choices, plus, you know, the financial, the money handling, all of that, right? I mean, it's not just money, but it's all of these different choices women have that sometimes you just have to have.
So I heard you say you're particularly focused on serving women. Tell me more about that.
So when I really sat back and took a look at who I want to help and who I want to hang around with. I mean, really, that's a lot of it, is who do you want to hang around with? And it is women, and it's women from all walks of life, and all presidents to really strong women to helping those that are in need. Because I believe that when women gather together and they form any kind of group, and a group could be two people, they're stronger and they can help each other and just have that community of women. And I did start one of the places that I volunteered here was at Partners in Housing, and they serve a lot of women and family that have come through sometimes some pretty horrific life changes. And I absolutely love just volunteering with that organization. And that led me to the Women's Club of Colorado Springs, who have been around for, I don't know if it's 50 or 70 years, mm-hmm. but a really long time.
Right.
And just being around these strong women and helping in their cause really, I think, helped me grow. I am divorced, and so that kind of started this whole change in me, right? Mm-hmm. Get rid of the
in with the
split.
Well, in what a lot of people don't think about, you know, I'm a divorce attorney. Writer Day Law is a divorce, you know, we do divorce and custody, but, you know, it's a divorce law firm. And what people don't think about a lot is, I mean, it is an ending to one thing, but it's a brand new beginning to a whole other thing. And maybe within a family, it's opening a new chapter, you know, for a family, because your family looks different at a juncture of divorce. But it's very common what you're talking about, that women and men as well, they find themselves redefining who they are and having another shot at how they're going to live their life, the way that they're going to spend our days. I heard someone say not too long ago, you know, at the end of the day, none of this matters. And it does. I mean, life is significant, but I mean, this is a journey. So the minutiae doesn't really matter. It's kind of focusing in on the don't sweat the small stuff, while at the same time realizing your choices are significant. And how now are we going to live is really just the theme of, you know, I'm here and I can't necessarily control my circumstances, but I can definitely control and choose what I'm going to do in the midst of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, divorce is, as you know, because mm-hmm. you're around it a lot, is so life-changing and so emotional. Mm-hmm. I think it doesn't matter if you're married 1 year or 27 years mm-hmm. Or however long it is, it's life-changing. And there can be so much grief and loss. Mm. And I think you have to go through that and then find the new you, find your new life. And that's what I've been doing the last 9 years, is finding really who I want to hang out with, who I want to serve, and find a stronger me.
Right.
Yes. So that's kind of how it's all evolving, and it just keeps evolving. And I've been on a foundation board for the Women's Chamber, the programs committee. I am now on the board of the Alzheimer's, Angels Against Alzheimer's, and that hits my heart. I have lots of family members that have Alzheimer's, runs in my dad's family, and way too many friends that have it, mm-hmm. A couple cousins that are pretty young and they have it.
Wow.
So I just try and find things that really work.
What do the Angels for Alzheimer's do? What is that organization? I'm not familiar.
The Angels Against Alzheimer's was created by Gina Kaiser, mm-hmm. and she is in advertising, but she created this because her father passed away with Alzheimer's. And so it's once a year we have a fundraiser to raise money that will stay in the community. And we raise the money to give to different organizations that help the family members.
Okay.
That are taking care of someone that has Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So it stays in Colorado Springs, and it's fairly young. I believe it's 5 years. 5 years young, I like to say. Yes, yeah. but once a year we have a gala.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really glad to learn about that. I have to look into that a little bit more. It's not the same, but it reminds me, my dad passed about 6 years ago of cancer, and he wasn't very old, early 60s. But our experience with hospice at the end of his life made all the difference, because up to that point, I mean, with him being home and just the difficulties, you know, the illness and care and how hard it is, it was very hard on him, but it's particularly, I mean, it's hard on the family.
It's hard the caregivers.
It gets where there's a fatigue that kicks in, where it's almost where you don't want to leave or lose the person, but it's almost like they aren't themselves anymore. And it just wears you down. You get worn out. And what a labor of love to come and serve those people who are taking care of folks who are really just so in need. It's at the end of their life.
Absolutely. And I know that the person who is sick gets a lot of attention, but mm-hmm. the caregivers also should have a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And I have taken friends and family members and basically forced them out of that situation for a few hours so that at least they get some relief. And you talked about hospice. I love hospice.
Oh, I do too.
I have had to deal with them 4 times in my life, and I will recommend hospice to anyone. Everyone who serves mm-hmm. with them are angels themselves.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm going to take a real quick break and remind our listeners, you're listening to KPPF, Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, and we're visiting with Robin Depies. I knew I was going to butcher that. Again, it's D-E-P-I-E-S, Depies. So it was my first heart, like for a career, what have you. I almost enlisted in the Marines in high school so that I could become a Marine nurse. And one of my aunts, kind of said, you know, I think you should just go to college and you could get your nursing degree and then you can decide if you want to go into the Marines. And I didn't go into the Marines. I married a man in the Army instead, but I never got that nursing degree. I ultimately ended up doing a social work program and then going to law school, and here we are. But I've often thought of, you know, how might I go back to school to get some type of certification or licensure, you know, for in my retirement days to be able to work as a medical assistant or nurse or something with families and, you know, in the hospice setting.
You don't necessarily need a degree for that because you can volunteer.
Oh, true.
Yes, you can. So they also need volunteers just to go sit. Be that the caregiver can take some time off. Mm-hmm. You could, I think they help deliver meals or just go sit with the caregivers themselves.
Right.
So you don't necessarily need a degree, and they're always looking for volunteers. So if anyone wants to volunteer,
sounds like a brighter day opportunity and an opportunity for all of us here in the Springs.
Yes.
So I want to come back to a theme that I was picking up on a little bit earlier. You were talking about strength and how important it is that you be around strong people, that you become stronger, and then you help people, you know, become stronger, women in particular become stronger. Tell me more about that, like that driver for you, especially as an entrepreneur.
I guess I've never really thought about it that way. So thank you. Thank you for making me think. You know, for many years, I guess I didn't think that I was that strong or that I could help many people. So when I had that chance, it's like, oh, well, I can do this because these are my strengths and I kind of take control and I pull people together. So I think that's part of what makes me and the people around me just stronger. It's like, listen, you need to talk with that person or you need to talk with this one to pull these people together to have a larger community.
Well, and there's that broker aspect too.
There is, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like figuring out what people need and making those connections.
Yes, and I love making connections, in every aspect of my life. And it doesn't necessarily have to benefit me in any way, except say, you need to meet this person because your need is here, be it business or personal, and you need to talk to that one because that person can help you out. I don't know. That's I'm just like a connector, I guess.
I love that. And, you know, and it really kind of, it's interesting that you're kind of talking about, you know, it doesn't benefit you in any way. I think that's when we talk about networking, okay, there's a lot of this negative connotation even that will come into play, like especially for folks who quote unquote network maybe, really just to have an opportunity to get a sale. Whereas I think what I'm hearing you say is that you're really looking to meet a need. And I think really true sales and true networking is exactly that. It's a means to walk out our purpose. And like for me, if a person needs what I do, needs what we do, well, then of course, I mean, I'm excited to get them connected with that and get them engaged with that. And, you know, because I know that we're really going to be able to help them. But if it doesn't help the receiver, then I don't even see that as ethical.
That is true. And I totally agree with that. Yes. Yeah. And you know what? Or what goes around comes around.
Yeah. Because,
yes. Yeah. And, you know, I'm at a point in my life that I just want to try and make people's lives better.
Right. Well, tell me a little bit, not so much about, and I know you have, it's Heartfelt Financial Solutions, and people can get some, I would say, information. We were looking a little bit at your website, and it's mm-hmm. mostly education at www.heartfeltfinancialsolutions.com. And tell me a little bit about what it is you're wanting to impart to people in a generic sense, and why that is so important.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is the education and to know that there are different choices. I would rather educate and let people know as many choices that I know, right? Or send them to somebody that may know something better. Mm-hmm. And I don't push anything. It's like, let's talk about your different choices. Where are you in your life? What are your needs? What are your wants? And what really hits your heart? Mm-hmm. You know, is it really protecting your family first? Is it leaving a legacy? Well, what are your choices? What can you do? So let's talk about those choices. One thing that I also, almost everyone that I talk to, I talk about their wills and their beneficiaries mm-hmm. and have you checked this yet lately, or your life insurance if you have them. People forget to change them and check them.
Right.
You have to have a will. Once you're, I think it's 18, you need to have a will. And I don't care how simple it is. If you don't, you will wind up through the court system. And I just had to help my aunt and uncle. They both got sick. They both wound up in the hospital. They have no will, no power of attorney, no power of health. And everything had to go through the court system. And it's very taxing. Mm-hmm. So that may be a little off subject of what we're talking about, but it's education. You need to know about this, you know, about all of these things.
Absolutely. And, you know, without getting into any specific or legal advice here, I would say you are definitely on the right track in terms of suggesting that people really do need to be paying attention to their estate plan. And even if they don't have a lot of assets, you know, once they're an adult, it's better to make some decisions for your health, for your, you know, assets and accounts and what have you, put those in writing than it is to leave them up to the state statute to decide.
Yes. And you would be amazed with the state statutes, and all of the different states are different. So be careful on that.
Right. So why finances in particular? I mean, I know we had talked very briefly about you having been a rock climbing instructor, and you said corporate and all of that, but what drew you to finances in particular? Is it numbers? I know I didn't go to medical school. Ultimately, that was sort of my track, you know, nurse and then maybe medical school. And part of it was the math. And I think there's a lot of lawyers that end up going to law school instead of medical school because of math. So what was it for you?
You know, honestly, I think it's a lot of it has to do with my parents divorced when I was 17. And I saw what that did to my mom in the poverty that she was in. Mm-hmm. And then I watched other friends that they lost a spouse, or there was a disability that happened and they weren't prepared. And I've had friends, you know, unexpectedly lose a spouse, and they had no clue how to even write pay bills.
Right. How do, you were about to say write a check.
Write a check.
You were going to age yourself.
I aged myself, right? So how do you write a check? It's like, what's a check?
We filled out a paper deposit slip yesterday, like to drop something off. And it was sort of like, how do you fill that out? We just don't do that very often anymore.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that, I mean, even after my own divorce, there were things that I was not aware of. Financially, and because he kept me in the dark. Well, that just got me upset, you know, and to find out later on about that. And so I really want to try and get the word out. Look at this. Make sure you know this. Both parties.
Right.
Both parties. Because you never know in life what's going to happen if someone's going to be disabled, if they're going to be in a coma for a week or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all of life's
right
things that happen.
Right. And in my social group, not very long ago, you know, with COVID especially, one of my friends that I grew up with, his oldest daughter, who's the same age as my oldest son, got sick with COVID. You know, young people don't pass from COVID, right?
Right.
Well, she got very sick, went to the hospital and passed away about a week ago. She has a small child. And so it can, anything. Nobody gets up thinking, oh, today's the day I get into a car accident.
Right.
You know, or what have you. So in terms of your best thoughts or advice or checklist for people so that they're not in the dark, what would you say if you could just say the top five? Make sure you...
If you have a partner or spouse, you have to communicate.
Mm.
Please write it down. Write down, talk about what's out there, where it is. Make sure each of you know where everything is.
Passwords.
Have that little black book.
Mm-hmm.
Not that black book, the other black book. The one that has all of the accounts, all of the properties, all of the investments, all of just in case. And talk to each other and have a set, you know, once a quarter. Mm. Talk about what has changed and go over and talk about where and what do you want for these certain accounts or the savings account or checking account, whatever it is, or these bills. Are you paying too much? Are you not? Go over everything and what's your direction or goals in life. So communicate, double check everything, have it all written down, passwords and everything, lock it up. Please. I know people say don't write down your passwords.
Right.
I can't not. Right.
Well, and they do have services, I think. And I couldn't vouch for how secure or they are or not, but they have like apps and websites now that'll store various and sundry passwords, and or you can keep a spreadsheet and keep mm-hmm. that secured. That's a good idea.
Yes. There's a couple different ways of mm-hmm. keeping them more secure, or, you know, put it in that black book and put it in your safe if you have a safe at home or something, and let family members know. Even, you know, your wills or trusts, power of attorney, your family members need to know where they are. And a will, each person should have a will. I talked to young clients of mine, and I was talking about the will, and they thought they only needed one for both of them. And it's like, no, you need one for each of you. So just so people are aware of that also.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. Well, we just have just a few more minutes to wrap up. Final thoughts or?
I don't, but I want to thank you very much for having me here. This has been a pleasure.
Well, I will tell you, I am definitely looking forward to getting to know more about the Angels Against Alzheimer's. And I mean, that to me just sounds like a really just a wonderful organization. And I'm going to book my own appointment with Heartfelt Financial Solutions. So can you give our listeners your, you know, contact information, phone number, and repeat the website?
Sure. My cell phone is 719-761-1802. And my website, and it does have a calendar link in there, is Heartfelt, and it's heart like in your H-E-A-R-T,
mm-hmm.
Felt Financial Solutions with an S. .com, heartfeltfinancialsolutions.com.
Well, thank you. So, and it's Robin Depies.
Yes.
Got it right. Okay. Uh-huh. Robin Depies. Thank you so much, Robin, for being with us here today.
Thank you, Angela.
It's been another beautiful, brighter day in the neighborhood. Thank you so much for joining us this Sunday and every Sunday. We'll see you right here. Until then, bye.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 a.m., and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.